Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, March 9th, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. House Committee votes to introduce Rural Teacher Student Loan Forgiveness Bill. Idaho's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee approves $10 million for building projects at LCSE and at the University of Idaho's Twin Falls campus. Moscow gets 7 inches of snow overnight, closing schools. Mayor Lambert says snow removal has not gone much over budget. And Washington House votes to modify Equal Pay Act to help women. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Legislature's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee today approved $10 million to build a new tech center at Lewis Clark State College in Lewiston. At the beginning of the legislative session in January, Governor Butch Otter recommended spending the money, saying one of Idaho's most serious challenges is filling the demand for skilled workers. The allocation to LCSE was part of a $45.3 million package of general fund money approved for 5 permanent building fund projects. The committee also approved $10 million for a University of Idaho Center for Agriculture, Food, and the Environment planned for Twin Falls and $10.3 million for a 16-bed adolescent mental health facility also in Twin Falls. The University of Idaho and Lewis Clark State College are both expected to come up with $10 million each in matching funds for the projects. The House Ways and Means Committee voted unanimously today to introduce a bill that would grant rural Idaho teachers up to $3,000 per year in student loan forgiveness for up to 4 years. The bill was co-sponsored by Democrats Sally Toon of Gooding and District 5 Representative Paulette Jordan of Plummer. Representative Jordan told the committee it's long overdue the legislature had a discussion about the teaching crisis in rural Idaho.
The reason why I'm here is not only because I'm a mother, but I'm here to protect our community. We've had an issue take place over the most recent years. In fact, when I started out, it's part of the reason why I even ran for office. I had a teacher, a friend of mine, who came to me and said, I was just riffed today, which was a reduction in force. And she said, and on top of that, we've cut some programs. Your son has tested in the 98th percentile at the national average. So he's a very smart, brilliant young man. And I love him. I want to continue to mentor him, help him out. But we've cut the gifted and talented programs. So I thought then, as a mother, well, what is going on within our institutions? What's going on with our rural schools? And it came down to the fact that our schools are just suffering. We're strangleholding our schools. We're suffocating them with their budgets. We're demanding that they rely upon supplemental levies and bonds to simply stay alive. And as a mother, I felt really defensive about that because I felt that these teachers who are my, I quote-unquote call them my partners in crime, are helping me raise my children. And so I'm very protective of my teachers, which is why I get to stand here with my favorite, our champion, Representative Sally Toon. But the purpose of this bill, the intent, is simply to restore our teachers within our rural districts. We have seen not only half of our rural education students suffer, because honestly, the statistics have shown that roughly half of them are graduating and going on to college, but the other issue is if one out of every 5 is dropping out, what are we doing about that? And oftentimes the greatest indicator is who is closest to our students and is our teachers. But we're not retaining them at a certificated level. We're seeing a higher increase in substitutes coming through who are not certificated and who are not experienced to teach our students. So it's a major issue. Now, we've worked on this last session. We've talked about this. For this reason, we brought it forth again this year. It comes with a price tag, as does everything when it comes to investing in our students. As a businesswoman, I know that that is the greatest investment that we can make, which is looking at the attributions that we make within our schools. So now I'm coming to you not as a mother, but as a businesswoman. and as someone who highly values education. I know that my local economy is suffering because as of the recent last 2 years, we've seen families move out of Plummer, Troy, other school districts, rural school districts, to go to where there are better means, which means better levels of education, where there are more opportunities. And it's unfortunate because this bill also serves to protect the heritage, the rural way of life, our way of living that we seek to protect. Coming from the ag community, I have neighbors who are both farmers, ranchers, and they have trouble with this because they have to now drive an hour to 30 minutes to send their kids to Coeur d'Alene or to Spokane. And for full disclosure, I send my children to Spokane because I want them to be provided the best education possible. And that all came down to 4 years ago when this all started. I received a letter from my school superintendent telling me that they did not have the resources to educate my child, and she recommended that I send my child to the neighboring district, either in Coeur d'Alene or Spokane. So that was frustrating for me, and that is my reality. That's my story that I get to tell today. But again, it comes down to bottom line, what is this going to cost? So looking at commitment's sake, we're just asking to get this bill forward. We have the money. But it's $3 million that we're looking at, and we've broken down these figures. We want $3 million per year, which would surface to implement offsetting loan costs for those students who are graduating from any institution in Idaho and then going to work within a rural school district. And, of course, the rural education definition is already defined within the Department of Education, and the final terms are that it would be $3,000 per year that they would be eligible for, and, of course, that's defined in the bill, and we're looking for the Department of Education and the School Board of Education to promulgate the rules after this bill if it were to pass.
That was Democratic Representative Paulette Jordan of Plummer speaking to the Idaho House Ways and Means Committee in Boise today. Republican Representative Brent Crane of Nampa reacted to Jordan.
It's tragic that a sitting Idaho legislator would have to educate their children outside of the state of Idaho because we have a shortage here. And I think that this is an issue that merits a discussion. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll move to introduce RS-25400.
Representative Toon has taught school in Idaho for 37 years. Toon said, "We started the year this year with 120 classrooms that they couldn't find teachers for in our school system." She said the loan forgiveness will attract those raised in rural areas back to their home communities to teach. The Washington Senate voted 48-1 yesterday for a bill to push back the date when the state would start limiting the amount local school districts can collect through local levies. As it stands now, the district's limits would begin next year, but if the bill passes, it won't happen until 2019. The limits are part of a plan for the state to comply with the 2012 Washington Supreme Court McCleary decision, which says it is unconstitutional for local school districts to depend on local levies to provide basic education in Washington. Lawmakers have already put $2 billion towards local education, but are struggling to find ways to comply with the state Supreme Court's ruling. The Supreme Court has given the state until September 1st of next year to fully fund education. The bill now heads to the House, which passed its own bill on the topic in January. The Senate bill passed yesterday requires school districts to create separate accounts for state and local funds, and starting next year, local levies would need to be submitted to and approved by the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction before going to voters. Moscow received a record 7 inches of snow overnight, causing the Moscow School District to declare a snow day. The wet snow caused the Troy Public Schools to close due to the weather as well. The snow changed terrain as temperatures rose this morning, and the higher temperatures have caused rapid snowmelt. The National Weather Service has declared a flood watch specifically for Paradise Creek in Moscow until 8 p.m. tomorrow, and a more general flood watch for numerous eastern Washington and northern Idaho counties, including Whitman and Latah, which will be in effect until 1 a.m. Saturday. Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert said he estimates the city will have spent more than $720,000 on street improvements by the end of September, which is the end of the city's fiscal year. That amount is a record for the city. Lambert made his comments in his State of the City address yesterday at the University Inn. Lambert told those in attendance, "You are going to see more street work all over this town for this summer than you ever have." The mayor said there will be detours for local drivers and the improvements will be worth the wait. Lambert said the city has used more than 28,000 pounds of cold mix asphalt to fill potholes created this winter. The mayor said the city received 60.6 inches of snow so far this season, which is 145% of average for the end of February. Lambert said December was the sixth coldest for Moscow over the last 100 years, and January is tied for the fifth coldest. Lambert said, even with those historic numbers, we anticipate that we're just going to have a minimum overrun in the snow removal budget from our city staff. The Latah Recovery Center raised $28,000 at the second annual Latah County Recovery Center breakfast yesterday at the Best Western University Inn. According to the Daily News, the total amount raised included $19,000 from the event's guests, which included Moscow City Council members and Latah County Commissioners. The fundraiser also received $3,750 from mail-in donations and $5,000 from Gritman Medical Center. According to Latah County Recovery Center board member Adina Beilenberg, the center needs about $110,000 per year to stay open. Beilenberg told the audience, "Your contribution lets every person who walks through the doors of the Latah Recovery Center know that they have an entire community behind them, an entire community rooting for their success. The Recovery Center has made a huge impact in our community in such a short time, and I truly can't wait to see what the future has in store for the Recovery Center and for our community." Latah Recovery Center Director Daryl Keim said since the center's inception, about 9,000 people have received center benefits. Keim said, "Take away the hope and the smallest obstacle is insurmountable. Give someone hope and they can shake their fist to the world and they will take it on and they will beat it." The Washington House of Representatives has passed a bill which may provide working women with equal pay, fair treatment, and a chance for growth opportunities. According to the Associated Press, House Bill 1506 passed by 61-36 yesterday. If it becomes law, it would modify portions of the Equal Pay Act. Passage would make it illegal for employers to retaliate against a woman employee for asking about wages or the salaries of other workers. The bill would also require women get the same chances at promotions as men. Lawmakers who were opposed to the bill said they had concerns about possible lawsuits over the bill's broad language. Supporters say the Equal Pay Act has not been amended for more than 70 years in Washington and does not address gender equity. The measure now moves to the Senate. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, there are two flood watches in effect, one locally for Paradise Creek in Moscow. Heavy rainfall today combined with snow melt will create rises on Paradise Creek, according to the National Weather Service. This flood watch is in effect until 8 p.m. tomorrow night. As of 8:45, the stage was 7.0 feet. Flooding is possible, and the flood stage is 9.2 feet for Paradise Creek. There's a more general flood watch in effect for Benoit, Bonner, Kootenai, Latah, Shoshone, Chelan, Douglas, Ferry, Lincoln, Ponderay, Spokane, Stevens, and Whitman counties. That will be in effect until 1 a.m. Saturday. The change in weather pattern beginning today will bring two different flood threats to the region. Today, moderate to heavy rain in eastern Washington and the Idaho Panhandle was expected to cause rises on small streams and potential for localized flooding. Rainfall amounts range between a half an inch for eastern Washington to over 1.5 inches for the central Panhandle Mountains. The rain will taper off to light mountain showers early tomorrow morning. Friday's high temperatures in the watch area will be in the high 40s to low 50s and will be accompanied by strong winds, which will lead to significant snowmelt across the area. From the lower slopes of the eastern Cascades Mountains across the Idaho Panhandle, areas with significant snow coverage have the potential for snowmelt flooding. Warm temperatures will continue through the weekend with saturated soil conditions in the area. Rock falls and slides on steep slopes are a possibility. In addition, low spots with poor drainage or those areas that are still dealing with flooding from recent events may see additional flooding problems. Localized flooding is possible in areas where storm drains and ditches are full of snow, ice, or standing water. There's also the potential for flooding next week. There also is a winter storm warning in effect for northwestern Montana and a winter storm watch for Bonner and Boundary counties in the Idaho Panhandle. The local forecast, Moscow Pullman area, 100% chance of rain tonight. Rain could be heavy at times. Precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half inch possible, low 38. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high near 50. Breezy, southwesterly winds, 10 to 15, increasing to 20 to 25 in the morning. Winds could gust up to 40 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy Friday night, low 33. Showers after 4 p.m. Saturday, 80% chance, high 47. 80% chance of showers Saturday night, low 39. 20% chance of showers Sunday, cloudy, high 49. Currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, 39 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low incomes. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Coming up next, Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, music begins with World Waves with Catherine Bonzo. And at 9 o'clock, heavy music with Confinement Loaf till midnight. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are available for download or streaming online at the KRFP website shortly after broadcast.
Programming on KRFP is supported in part by Moscow Ale House, home of the featured brewery parties. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.
For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.